why I want this area cleared." This was a marvel indeed, Skye thought. None of the passengers had ever awakened, even though a few of them had certainly died. But his father seemed less than overjoyed at the situation, gravely concerned, more accurately. "Why is it a problem, Dad?" "Because they're not meant to wake up, that's why. If it happens at all, it must mean it was planned from day one, before we ever left the solar system. But why clear the area?" "Because of something my father told me, Skye. Now do what I just told you, and get that train unloaded and then get the hell away from here, will you?" At that moment, another train slid into the bay from the opposite direction, nosing up against the one Skye had arrived on. Four of Titus's security people emerged from it, three men and a woman, and began buckling on plastic armor that had been too bulky to wear during the journey. This was practically the entire operational militia for the ship, its police force and army, and even these people were not full-time security officers. The squad moved forward to another part of the train, and unracked guns, gloss-white weapons, which they handled with nervous care. His father had always told him that there were no guns aboard ship, but never very convincingly. There were, in fact, many aspects of shipboard security about which Skye wanted to know more. His father's small, tight, highly efficient organization fascinated him. But Skye had never been allowed to work with his father. The explanation which Titus gave for this was plausible enough. He could not claim impartiality or fairness if his son were to be given a role in the organization, no matter how apt Skye might have been, but that did not make it any less bitter a pill to swallow. Consequently, the tasks Skye was assigned were always as far away from anything remotely security-related as Titus could ensure. Nothing would or could change while Titus remained head of security, and both of them understood that. Skye went to join his friends, helping them offload the supplies. They were getting through the job quickly without any of the carefully honed dawdling that usually accompanied the process. His friends were unnerved. Whatever was going on here was out of the ordinary, and Titus Houseman was not a man to pretend there was a crisis where none existed. Skye kept one eye on the security squad. They settled fabric headsets over their shaven skulls, tapping microphones and checking communication frequencies. Then they pulled armored helmets from the train and pushed their heads into them, adjusting drop-down overlay monocles which covered one eye. A slim black line ran from each helmet to the sight attached to the top of each gun, so that the guns could be discharged without the guard having to look in the direction of fire. They probably had infrared or sonar overlays as well. That would be useful down in the gloomy sublevels. When they had stopped fiddling with their equipment, the squad moved over to his father, who briefed them quickly and quietly with the absolute minimum of fuss. Skye watched his father's lips move, his expression one of complete calm now that he was in the presence of his own squad. Occasionally he made a taut, precise hand gesture or shook his head. He might as well have been telling them all a nursery rhyme. Even the sweat on his forehead seemed to have dried up. Then Titus Houseman left the squad and went back over to the train they had arrived on and pulled his own gun from it. No armor or helmet, just the weapon. It was the same gloss white as the others. There was a sickle-shaped magazine beneath it and a skeletal stock. His father handled it with quiet respect rather than easy familiarity, the way a man might handle a venomous snake that had just been milked. All for a single, sleepless passenger? "Dad," Skye said, leaving his duty again, "what is it? What is it really?" "Nothing you need worry about," his father said. Titus took three of the squad with him and left the fourth behind, standing guard in the freight bay. The detachment disappeared down one of the access shafts which led to the berths, the clatter of their progress growing quieter but never quite